We thank all of you for being here this morning. We truly appreciate all of you who have joined us here in worship. We have a number of people out this morning, but we hope that all of you will be here this afternoon at our Fall Fest at 3 o'clock. It's going to be a great afternoon, and we encourage all of you to come. It's not only for children, but for adults as well, and it's always a great time. We had a wonderful experience last year, and we expect the same this year. A lot of work, a lot of preparation has gone into that, and we just hope that all of you will take advantage of it also. We have a lot of games. We have a magician, a lot of great things that are planned this afternoon, and then be back with us at 6 o'clock tonight for our evening worship, and then following that, then we are going to have a hayride also, compliments of Jim Reichard. And we'll be telling you more about that also tonight. You know, there have been religious prognosticators who have made all kinds of predictions about the future and about what might come to pass. Have you ever really wondered what if Jesus had come yesterday? Now, that may not be a real probing question for you, but it's certainly one that you ought to think about. For Christ is coming in all of his grandeur and all of his glory someday. For he said, I will come again. I will come again. And when he comes, we will all be caught up together to meet him in the heavens. I know that probably that is a sobering thought for you, but maybe not so sobering for a lot of people, because a lot of people do not believe that there is going to be a resurrection. A lot of people do not believe that Christ is going to come again. But he said in the 14th chapter of the book of John, verse 1 and following, he said, let not your hearts be troubled, for you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you and I someday will ascend, and we will go into the presence of a loving and eternal God, whether we believe it or whether we do not. Someday he will come again, and will you be ready? Will you be ready when Christ comes? Now, we're going to talk about how to get ready this morning, but we're going to talk about some other things that relate to the coming of our Savior and why it is so important to be prepared. Will you be prepared to meet him? You will meet him. Now, you may have not met Jesus along the way here in this life, but you will meet him one day. You will stand before him in that hour of judgment, and you will humble yourself in his presence. You may be ashamed to meet him. You've often heard me say that some will be running from Jesus when he comes again. Others will be running to him, because of their great love and their affinity for the Father who is in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Would yesterday's choices harm or help you in eternity? We all make choices every day, every one of us. Every one of us make choices. Sometimes they're wise choices, sometimes they're unwise choices. Sometimes there are choices that we live with and we regret having ever made in our life. And when you stand before God, you may be ashamed to meet him because you never chose to get right with God. Would your choices that you made yesterday harm or help you in eternity? Where would you be today in eternity? You ever thought about that? If Christ had come yesterday, where would you be today? Would you be in the presence of God? Would you be in that glory of God that surrounds him? Or would you be in a place of torment and banishment from heaven? Where would you really be? That's why it's so important to ponder that thought. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, beginning in verse 24 through 36, the Bible says, "Assuredly, I say unto you, that this generation shall by no means pass away until all these things take place. For heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away by no means. But of that day and that hour knows no man," he says, "not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Matthew chapter 25, or 24. Think about it in verse 36. "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man." And notice what Christ says, "not even the Son, not even the angels of heaven, only my Father only." It is also borne out in the book of Mark, the 13th chapter and verse 32. You see, God holds time within His hands. He is the one who controls it. It is not you, it is not me. Now, there have been a lot of predictions about Christ coming. There have been a lot who have said that Christ is going to come in the year 2012. There are others who talk about when He's going to come. No one knows that day nor that hour. But had He come yesterday, where would you be? Where would you be? Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. I want you to ponder with me for a moment the reward of the wicked. Do you know there is a reward for the wicked? We don't like to think of it that way, but there is. And the Bible says of those who are wicked and those who have rejected Christ and have never become children of God, that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So our Lord said in Matthew 24 and verse 51, "Banished from God, weeping and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says that we will be cut asunder and given our part with the hypocrites. And your access to God will absolutely be forbidden." Matthew 25, 12, or 10 through 12. You remember that story of the rich man in the book of Luke, chapter 16, and how he wanted Lazarus to come and touch his tongue in torment? He wanted access to God, but he had no access to God. God didn't answer his prayer. And I'm telling you, brethren, the Bible teaches us that when we sin against God and when we are unrepentant and when we live wicked and wretched lives, we are forbidden from being in the presence of God because God cannot tolerate sin. The reward of the wicked, again, means, according to Matthew 25 and verse 30, and also that little book of Jude, verse 13, that there will be a place of outer darkness. Outer darkness. I'm not talking about the darkness of night that we experience. I'm talking about outer darkness. You cannot imagine how horrible the outer darkness is going to be that Jesus describes here. There will be an everlasting fire, according to the book of Matthew 25 and verse 41. It will be a fire that cannot be quenched. It'll be a place where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And it will be a place of everlasting punishment from God. Matthew 25 and verse 46. Think about it. Everlasting punishment. You know, we have a lot of people that are skeptics today about hell and the fact that there really is a hereafter, but I'm here to tell you this morning that there is. I believe what Christ had to say, and I believe what the Word of God teaches. You don't hear too much about it anymore, but it's true. But I'm glad that God has a reward for the righteous as well. But what is the reward for the righteous? Well, the reward according to Christ in Matthew 25, 24 and verse 46 is that it's going to give us an opportunity to be blessed by God. For Jesus said, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the very foundation of the world." And do you know that Christ even says that you and I are going to be rulers in heaven? You ever thought about that, being a ruler in heaven? He says that. He says, "You have been faithful over few things, I will make you ruler over many things." That you and I will be joint heirs with Christ in heaven. and we will have access to God. Matthew 25 and verse 10. You know, the thing that is going to make heaven so wonderful and the great reward is not so much the golden streets or the pearly gates, but it'll be the fact that you and I can be with God and that we can be with Jesus and the one who sacrificed his life for you and for me. And it will be a place of joy according to Matthew 25 and verse 23. For Jesus would say to those on the right, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, the joy of heaven. You know what? And the joy of heaven cannot compare to the joy that we have here. I'm going to tell you something. That joy is going to be superlative in heaven. No heartache, no pain, as John says, no crying, no tears, no separation from God, but we will be with him eternally in heaven. And we will experience eternal life. That's what Christ said, wasn't it? He said to those on the right, and these shall go away into everlasting life. You know, it's a horrible thing, and I've been with a number of people who have been through death in their families. Just this last week, two precious friends departed from this life. But what happened? Because they were children of God, they have the promise of having eternal life. Being rejected by God means eternal death, separation from God. But being able to go and be with God means that we have eternal life. Eternal life. If Jesus had returned yesterday, now think about it. Would you be weeping today? Would you? Based upon where you are right now, your life right now before God, if Christ had come yesterday, according to the Bible, would you be weeping today? Would you be gnashing your teeth today? Would you be separated from God today? Would you be in outer darkness today? Would you be burning today? If Jesus had returned yesterday, would you be blessed today? That's a blessing that comes only to those who are children of God and who are living the faithful life. Would you be praised by God? Do you know God actually praises those who walk in his way? There is no praise for people who reject him. If Christ had come yesterday, would you be with God? Where would you be? You ever thought about it? Where will you be when you get where you're going? Would you have joy today with God? And would you have eternal life today? The Bible profoundly says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you're holding to your faith. This is from the Revised Standard Version. If you were reading from the King James, it may read just a little bit different. But I think great clarification is given here. Do you realize, test yourselves, do you realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. You know, every day God is testing you. And he is testing me. As to whether or not we're going to be faithful to him. Are you passing the test? Will you be ready when Christ comes again? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, the Bible says again, for this is the good and acceptable will of God in the sight of God, our Savior, he says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Christ doesn't want anyone to be lost. Jesus died for all men, not just for a few. There are many today that believe in the doctrine of election, that some are going to heaven, some are going to hell, and you have nothing at all to do with it. You have no power, no control over your destiny. Not true. Had that been true, then Christ would have never said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Does Christ know where you're going when you die? Absolutely. Does that mean that he has already predetermined where you're going? No. He is omniscient in all things, and he knows where you're going when you die. But do you know where you're going? Do you know where you will be when life is over here? The return of Jesus Christ is a momentous thing. Now I want to share just a few things here with you about it. First of all, the return of Jesus Christ will be unexpected. It will. No one will expect Christ to come. Again, read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Now, you may remember Peter making this statement, that he will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. It's not the only time he talks about Christ coming as a thief in the night. And he says, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, much like the pains of a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape," he says. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief." You are aware of it. You know he is coming. But be prepared for his coming. The Bible says he's coming in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That quickly. That's almost hard for us to believe, isn't it? And he is coming in his glory. He is not coming in the year 2012 because mankind has predicted his coming in 2012, by the way. Christ can come any moment. He can come today. He could come tomorrow. He could have come yesterday had he chose to do that. And will you welcome him when he comes? When Gabriel blows his horn and the Lord Jesus gives a great shout, according to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, will you be ready to meet him? Will you? The coming of Jesus Christ is unexpected, but the return of Jesus Christ is also unforgettable. There are some things in this life that we forget. We choose to forget. There are things that we choose to remember. But I'm going to tell you something. The return of Jesus Christ will be unforgettable. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I want you to notice that Christ himself gives the shout. He's coming. Revelation 1 and verse 8. "And with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." That is, those who are in their graves. "And those who have died and have long been gone will rise first." And the Bible then says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." An unforgettable moment. But the return of Jesus Christ is inescapable. You cannot run far enough to get away from Christ when he comes again. You cannot run far enough to escape the presence of Christ. When John, the great revelator in the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, describes that judgment scene for us, he describes the inescapable nature of the judgment. Listen to what he says. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." And he says, "And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up those that were in them. And they were judged each one according to his works." You know, sometimes we live life so flippantly here as if we'll never ever give an account for anything we ever do. We lie, we cheat, we murder, we do drugs, we get drunk. I mean, just about anything and everything that we choose to do. And we believe that there will be no accounting for what we do. But folks, let me tell you something, it is not true. We will give an account. You will give an account. I will give an account. And it is imperative that we be right with God when Jesus comes. An inescapable moment. And we shall all stand before the judge, according to Romans 14 and verse 10. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And John calls it the great white throne judgment. Paul would write in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he would say, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And if you have not humbled yourself here in his presence, I'm going to tell you something. On that day, you will humble yourself. You will bow before his throne. You may not believe you will, but believe me, you will. And believe Christ, you will. The return of Jesus Christ is irreversible. Now, this is something, I'm going to tell you something you ought to really give a lot of thought to, folks. You know, we have a lot of people who say, well, I'll get right when Jesus comes. You know what? It'll be too late then. It's kind of like back during the days of Noah, the ark, in the book of Genesis chapter 5, and they cried out and wanted God to save them, but it was too late. They waited until it was too late, and the rain came and the floods came up, and their life was suddenly snuffed out. And do you know, Christ incidentally said that it's going to be like that with his coming again. He said many will be giving in marriage. Many will feast. Many will be enjoying the frivolity of life. And then swift and sudden destruction. Jesus is coming again. For the book of 1 Corinthians 15:24, then comes the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. Get the picture. Christ is reigning right now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but someday he is going to present the kingdom back to the Father in heaven when he comes again. I want to be named among that number. But some are waiting. And it will be too late. And it is irreversible. You can't change it once the destiny has been sealed by the Father in heaven. Let me ask you another sobering question. If Jesus returned after our dismissal prayer here today, would you be saved or would you be lost? If Christ were to come, after we close this service and we have our closing song with Sam and we have our closing prayer today, would you be saved or would you be lost? That's a sobering thought, sobering question, isn't it? Would you be saved or would you be lost? Jesus is coming, and the Bible says that every knee shall bow to this Jesus who comes in his glory and his grandeur. Every knee, not just a few, but every knee. Every knee shall bow and confess him to be the Son of God. And the question I ask you this morning is, will you come to Jesus before it's too late? Do you realize that you don't even have a promise of another moment? You can't take out a lease on life. God could suddenly stop your heart. Like he stopped the heart of two this week and who drew their last breath. he could stop yours just as quickly, and it would beat no more. And those who are banking on another day, or perhaps tomorrow, or some future point in time, may wait until it's too late. If Christ had returned yesterday, where would you be today? Do you realize that Jesus shed his blood? And that blood is still the power to save you from the wrath to come. It is. And the power is still in his blood. And we reach that power and that blood when one is baptized into Christ. And it is there that renewal comes. It is there that forgiveness comes. And it does. That power is in the blood that cleanses us daily as we walk in the light with Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. So the question I ask all of you this morning is, are you a Christian? Because there may be some in this audience this morning that are not Christians. You may not be an obedient child of God. I hope you'll not wait until it's too late. I hope you'll repent of your sin and confess the sweetest name that has ever graced this earth, the name of Jesus. There's something about his name. And then to be baptized or born again of water and the Spirit before it's too late. And if you're a Christian this morning and you know that you were baptized into Christ, but you know that you've not been living the kind of life that was exemplary of Christ, and you know this morning, down deep in your heart, if Jesus had come yesterday, you'd be just as lost as those who had never obeyed him in baptism. Because you know you've not been living according to his will. But you can still avail yourself to the power and the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ this morning by coming to renounce your sin and ask God to forgive you. And that's the song that we sing this morning. There is power in the blood as we stand together and as we sing.
Would you be free from the burden?